Hey there, thanks for checking out my podcast, which today is going to be about the death of Osama bin Laden. Of course, it's 1 year to the day since we were told that Osama bin Laden had been killed in his compound in Abbottabad in Pakistan. Apparently this Navy SEALs team had tracked him down, entered his compound, and, well, we were told various different things. The first story that came out was that the Navy SEALs were engaged in a fierce gunfight by some of bin Laden's henchmen. And we were also told that bin Laden himself was armed. We were told that he was actually cowering behind his wife at one point to try and hide from these Navy SEALs like a coward. You know, of course, all of these things turned out to be false. And there was no gunfight. Bin Laden wasn't armed, nor did he cower behind his wife. It was all nonsense. You know, there were so many retractions from the original story, it was kind of absurd, really. We also had the photos that were released by the White House of this Situation Room, and Obama, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton and various others in the Obama administration gathered round a table, you know, monitoring a television with Hillary Clinton with her hand clasped over her mouth as if she was watching something shocking on the screen. And, you know, we were very much given the impression, we were led to believe that they were monitoring events in real time. And that also turned out to be complete nonsense because there hadn't actually been a live feed during this raid on the compound. The director of the CIA, Leon Panetta, actually admitted that there'd been no live feed. So whatever it was that Obama and Clinton had been watching, it hadn't been the raid on the compound or the killing of Osama bin Laden. But of course, you know, those photos were released as part of the propaganda, part of this massive psyop, which you have to say really was a very sloppy psyop. You know, it wasn't executed in a very clever way at all. Apart from all of the retractions, apart from the fact that there was literally no evidence presented that bin Laden had indeed been killed on the 2nd of May 2011, which I'll get into in a bit. Apart from the fact that we were expected to believe this totally ludicrous story that his corpse had been whisked away from the scene of death and buried in the North Arabian Sea. You know, this was the most ridiculous aspect of the whole thing, really. I remember waking up on the 2nd of May and reading the news headlines and saw, you know, Osama bin Laden dead. And yeah, I'd always been expecting to see that because I knew that at some point in the not-too-distant future, they were going to have to say that they'd killed him, or they would say that they'd killed him, you know, use that for political purposes. So it was kind of not a surprise, but at the same time it was still a shock to see it. So, you know, I eagerly clicked on the link, of course, having a big interest in bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and, you know, manufactured terrorism. So yeah, clicked on the link and yes, read that his body had been dumped in the sea, had been buried in the sea. And I just, you know, immediately thought, oh my God, this is just so ridiculous. Did a video on YouTube at the time, you know, basically saying what I thought at the time, you know, which is what most of the alternative media community thought, that this was all a massive scam, basically. You know, we're all well aware of the fact that there'd been multiple reports that bin Laden had actually died many years previously to 2011. That's not just so-called conspiracy theorists who said that, but, you know, many respected intelligence analysts, many heads of state even. I've got a list here of some of the people who said that they believed bin Laden had died a long time before 2011. Former CIA officer and intelligence and foreign policy expert Robert Beyer. He was asked in 2008 if he thought bin Laden was dead, and his response was, "Of course he's dead." Back in December 2001, so very shortly after 9/11, there was a story in the Pakistan Observer which reported that the Afghan Taliban had actually buried bin Laden, buried him in an unmarked grave. I think that he had died of a lung complication was the story. And that was repeated by news organizations in the West, including Fox News. Former Pakistan President Pervez Musharraf, he said that he thought bin Laden was dead. That was back in January 2002. The head of counterterrorism at the FBI, Dale Watson, he also said in 2002, in July, that he thought bin Laden was dead. You know, there's a whole list of people here. Hamid Karzai, Senator Harry Reid in the US, Professor Bruce Lawrence. Well, he actually said that, yeah, he said that he thought bin Laden was probably dead and that the video and audio tapes were fake. If you haven't read David Ray Griffin's book about this, it's a very short book, so I would recommend maybe searching on the internet for an essay or something. But David Ray Griffin has broken all of this down, and you know, he's shown that there's a good chance that bin Laden was indeed dead and that all of those audio and video recordings were fakes. I mean, the last sort of video really that is accepted by most people as being genuine is the one that was released at the end of 2001 of bin Laden when he's with Ayman al-Zawahiri in the mountains, and he's wearing a camouflage jacket, and he looks, you know, pretty ill. Doesn't look very well at all. In fact, that footage actually led Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who's like a medical professional who works with CNN. He actually reviewed this footage, and he said quite clearly that he thought bin Laden was suffering from a chronic disease, and especially kidney disease, he said. This is a quote from Gupta. You can look at pictures from a December of 2001 video and notice that he has what some doctors refer to as sort of a frosting over of his features, his sort of greyness of beard, his paleness of skin, very gaunt sort of features. A lot of times people associate this with chronic illness. Doctors can certainly look at that and determine some clinical features. And then he goes on to say this is often associated with chronic kidney failure, renal failure, and that somebody who was in this stage of a disease would certainly require dialysis. Also, of course, in this video, bin Laden doesn't move his one of his arms, his left arm. It looks like he's paralyzed in the arm. And Gupta says people are at increased risk of stroke if they also have kidney failure. He may have had a stroke and therefore is not moving his left side. You know, of course, there could be other reasons for this apparently paralyzed arm that bin Laden had, but that's one plausible explanation for it anyway. And Gupta, you know, goes on to point out that if bin Laden did indeed have kidney failure, then he would require a couple of dialysis machines, which of course require electricity and also clean water and a sterile setting. So if bin Laden was on the run in the Tora Bora Mountains, you know, he's not going to have much of a opportunity to have access to high quality medical care, is he really? Unless he was living in one of these underground high-tech bunkers that Donald Rumsfeld talked about and that we saw the pictures of, which of course, you know, was completely made up and nonsensical. So yes, lots of evidence that bin Laden had indeed been dead for quite some time before 2011. And yes, of course, the biggest red flag was this story about his body being helicoptered away to the Arabian Sea and buried at sea, which the US authorities tried to tell us was because they were concerned about following Islamic tradition. Even though burial at sea actually has no part whatsoever in Islamic tradition. I mean, it is mentioned, but it's only actually used in exceptional circumstances, such as when obviously somebody dies at sea during a sea voyage and they can't do anything else with the body. But even then, Islamic tradition dictates that all efforts should be made to still bury the body at sea. So, you know, this isn't Islamic tradition whatsoever. So for the US authorities to try and use that was kind of puzzling, really, because it was just such an obvious lie, you know. And they also tried to say that they, you know, wanted to bury it within 24 hours, again, because of Islamic tradition, when we have historic examples of them not doing that. For example, when Saddam Hussein's sons, Uday and Qusay, were killed, their bodies were actually held for 11 days before being released for burial. So the US hadn't done that in the past. You know, even more recently we saw with Colonel Gaddafi, you know, his body was sort of laying out and people just could come and take photographs of it. I mean, I'm sure the US authorities that they would say that they had no control over that and that his body was in the hands of the rebels, but, you know, we all know how the rebels were really controlled by the West, so I'm sure if the US had wanted that body to be buried and not to be grotesquely displayed to any passing visitor, I'm sure they could have arranged that, you know. So yeah, this this idea that they were following Islamic tradition, just unbelievable and contradicted by things that they'd done themselves in the past. Okay, so no body, the body buried at sea, so we don't get to see the body. What about photographs and video? You know, surely they'll show us some photographs of Bin Laden's dead body, or at least video from the raid, because the original story was that the Navy SEALs had helmet cameras, you know, so what better evidence could they have released than helmet cam footage of Bin Laden being cornered and then not even shot? You know, there was no need for them to show the fatal shot. They could have simply shown the Navy SEALs bursting into the room where he was, and they would have captured a good image of Bin Laden immediately prior to his execution, you know, or at least photographs of Bin Laden's corpse. But no, we were not allowed to see those photos. The excuse was that they were too gruesome and that they could prompt Islamic fundamentalists to launch revenge attacks against Western interests. You know, this was another totally ridiculous excuse, really. You know, as if somebody who wasn't predisposed to carrying out a terrorist attack was suddenly going to see these images of a dead Bin Laden and then think, oh yeah, this has really pushed me over the edge. You know, I'm now going to launch an attack that I previously actually wasn't going to launch. So unbelievable. And the fact that they were too gruesome, well, you know, we've seen plenty of other gruesome photos and videos, which the US didn't seem to have such a problem with, you know. Whilst, for example, the execution of Saddam Hussein wasn't particularly graphic, I mean, that was still quite a disturbing video, and they had no problems with that footage being released. So yeah, very strange how they weren't prepared to release any of the visual evidence of Bin Laden's supposed death. And the CIA has actually fought hard to try and keep this supposed evidence secret. The CIA apparently has 52 separate photos and videos of the raid, of the burial, of Bin Laden's corpse, but they've pleaded in the interests of national security that those photos and videos not be released. And an organization actually issued a Freedom of Information request. I think the organization was called Judicial Watch. And yeah, they issued a FOIA request shortly after Bin Laden's supposed killing, requesting release of the videos and the photos. And this prompted John Bennett, who's the director of the National Clandestine Service of the CIA, Yes, to say that this would be a grave risk to national security. And only last week, a district judge in the US actually agreed with that. A federal judge called James Boasberg, he said that the CIA's, quote, explanation of the threat to our national security, that the release of these records could cause passes muster, and that verbal descriptions of the death and burial of Osama bin Laden will have to suffice, for this court will not order the release of anything more. So, yeah, they're going to be kept secret now, and we'll never get to see those photos and videos. All that we got to see were fakes, crude fakes. I'm sure we remember the sort of gory photo that someone had just stitched together of somebody else's, the top of somebody else's head, and using the bottom of bin Laden's face from another video. You know, it was a kind of a crude forgery, which was, you know, revealed quite quickly. I mean, another point is, you know, photos did actually come out of that supposed raid on the compound. There were two very gruesome pictures of, one was allegedly bin Laden's son, and another one was one of bin Laden's bodyguards, who'd obviously been shot through the head. Pretty grisly photos. So, you know, those photos got out, so why bin Laden's photos couldn't have also been released, I really don't know. What else have we got regarding this raid on the compound? Well, yeah, of course, there was also conflicting reports from locals on the ground in Abbottabad. Now, the official story admits that the US Special Forces lost a helicopter during the raid, but they said that nobody was injured or killed during this helicopter crash. Now, there was an eyewitness on the ground, a guy called Mohammed Bashir, who apparently lived opposite the compound, and he went on TV and basically claimed to see this helicopter crash and lots of dead bodies in the helicopter. So, you know, it's not quite clear who, what happened, or if anybody died in that helicopter crash. Now, of course, there was this other SEAL Team 6 crash in Afghanistan in August 2011. 22 soldiers from that unit were actually killed in this crash, or rather it was a Taliban shootdown actually. Now, US authorities say that none of the 22 who were killed were those who'd taken part in the bin Laden compound raid. You know, whether you can believe that or not, that's up to you, but that's what they claim. And yeah, I mean, some people have, you know, speculated that this was connected to the compound raid, some kind of cover-up. You know, Alex Jones very much took that angle. You know, you can't rule it out, really. There was, of course, a BBC journalist who went around Abbottabad talking to people, and she spoke to 50 people in Abbottabad, and she could only find one person who believed that bin Laden had been living in this compound. Nobody that she spoke to knew anything about it and disbelieved that he was there. I mean, of course, you could say that if they hadn't seen him, then they would disbelieve it, and they're more inclined to disbelieve it because, you know, they're pretty cynical about the West and Western propaganda. You could say that. But there was one particularly interesting guy who was reacting to a video that had been released allegedly showing bin Laden in the compound. This, of course, is the video shot from behind this figure's head, who's sat on the floor, I think he's wrapped in a blanket, and watching images of apparently himself on television. You know, the US said this was bin Laden watching himself, his greatest hits on TV. And yes, it didn't look like bin Laden. This sort of elderly figure on the ground, grey-haired, grey-bearded, and there were a couple of websites who compared this figure in the video to known footage of bin Laden, and the shape of the ear was totally different, the shape of the beard was different. Definitely didn't look like bin Laden. And yes, this guy that the BBC spoke to in Abbottabad was pretty adamant that this guy in the video was his neighbour, a guy who he knows very well, he said, and who he named as Akbar Khan. So yeah, the evidence provided by the US was pretty poor, you know, because it just didn't look like him at all. And yes, he was named as Akbar Khan by this guy in Abbasabad. You know, of course, there were also questions about why bin Laden would have chosen to hide in Abbasabad, because it's a military town and it's home to the Kakul Military Academy. I mean, of course, you could argue that he was being protected by the Pakistani military, which is a possibility. But we, you know, we don't know that for sure. Also, of course, there's been a cover-up this year because the compound itself was completely demolished back in February. Yes, bin Laden's compound was totally demolished, and that actually took place during the night, I believe. I wrote a report about that, and in that report I said, this was on February the 27th, Pakistani authorities began tearing down the house on Saturday night, working under floodlights, with the local population subject to a strict curfew, and Pakistan Army soldiers and police personnel reportedly deployed in large numbers. And then I went on to say that the total destruction of the death scene makes it much less likely independent verification of the official narrative will ever be established. So we've got a whole load of things there that are just, you know, so suspicious about this supposed killing of bin Laden. No evidence provided whatsoever by the US to back up their claim. You know, we're supposed to believe that just because they say that they have DNA that they tested that proved this was bin Laden, you know, we're supposed to accept that. You know, this claim hasn't been, to my knowledge, independently verified, so it's practically worthless. You know, anything that comes from the US authorities and from the intelligence services, you always have to treat with deep suspicion. So yeah, no evidence whatsoever. And of course, what happened, you know, to the people who actually did question this story, they were smeared as being conspiracy theorists. You know, interestingly, some people in the mainstream media actually tried to concoct a straw man, and some people actually tried to say that the conspiracy theory was that bin Laden was still alive and that he hadn't been killed in the compound raid, when actually most sort of credible researchers, as I said, you know, at the beginning of the show, believe that bin Laden had been killed a long time ago and that he, you know, wasn't alive to be killed anyway. So yeah, it was kind of an intriguing straw man that the mainstream tried to set up there. But yeah, I mean, most people seem to have accepted the official narrative. You know, it went unsurprisingly unquestioned largely in the mainstream media, because we all know that the mainstream media is controlled and they don't publish alternative perspectives like this. So really, yeah, it's down to the alternative media to report on things like this. And yes, I think most people in the alternative media disbelieve this official narrative because it's just so absurd. I mean, you know, it was really beyond a joke. I don't know how they managed to get away with this. It's kind of depressing in a way, really, because it was so extreme in its absurdity, and yet still most people believed it, you know. Kind of similar to what happened in Libya last year, because that was also extreme in just the way that they managed to get away with that, you know. So kind of depressing on one level, but yeah, the reaction from the alternative media can give us some hope, and the way that most people were pretty skeptical in the alternative community. So yeah, I just thought I'd give a brief sort of summary of bin Laden's death on the anniversary of his death. If you would like to check out an article that I wrote about that with links to some of the things that I've just talked about, you can find that in the article section of resistradio.com. Pretty good, because that article's getting around quite a few places now, and that's bringing people to the website, which is all good stuff. So keep your eyes on the podcast section and on the article section. I will try and do fairly regular updates. Thanks for listening, and I will catch you on the next one. Cheers.